This is Leo Baybue for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. It is a Tuesday afternoon. It's about 3 weeks past the point that they mark spring on our calendars on the equinox. And in that 3 weeks, we've gone from having blizzards to it being 71 degrees in Seagog on my way in this afternoon. And that is amazing. And I have to greet Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park and ask her. It's probably not as tropical up along the lake, but are you enjoying your spring now, the changes?
The falls have officially broken open, so we are in full spring mode at Gooseberry now.
Wow. Can you tell me, did your colleagues mark the moment when somebody first noticed?
Today.
Okay, because I know that's usually a team pool. People are taking guesses, educated guesses.
We didn't have everyone in the office last week to really take a stab at what the dates were going to be, but it is officially marked that they're open today.
Wow.
Yep.
Significant amount of water coming or more?
Yeah.
It's going to grow.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to grow. Yeah. And all the tributaries I've seen just rocking and rolling, you know, along the shore, it's really muddy. So you can see all that new water coming in from the hills and, you know, it comes in and turns the water
It's going to show you some turbidity.
Milk. Yep.
Mm-hmm. If it's particularly clay-based, it's going to get pretty orange-ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, my small tributary that we reside on the Knife River, also was wide open today. So that's interesting. We're quite a different stream than Gooseberry is at the Big Falls, but it, too, was roaring today and means that these streams are semi-impassable for some of us humans right now, and maybe that's a good thing because the critters can do their important spring activities, which maybe that's a place to look at, Michaela, is where are we in emerging from dens and reproductive
behaviors? Yeah, so we got a lot going on right now. It's probably one of the busiest times keeping up on what all the critters are doing, but between your comments and some of my observations, I think pretty much everyone's woken up. We still don't know about the bears.
We have reports of bears and feeders in the neighborhood.
Okay, so
we've been lucky.
They're probably officially, it's pretty warm. If they're sleeping on a 71 degree day, I would be very surprised.
I would too.
So,
and now they'll have to get their feet wet because that stream is officially uncrossable for any mammal half as big as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unless there's a good jumper in there, if we have any kangaroo or the whitetails, maybe.
No, I think you're right, though. I don't think a lot of animals can really cross right now unless, you know, they are semi-aquatic, like our otters or muskrat friends or something that are really relying on the river. But no, animals can't get across anymore. But the birds are back and really lively. One animal I know people are starting to see appear more often is the turkeys. It's hunting season soon, which means that toms are going to be in full strut. They already are strutting around.
Okay.
So they come out from their groups, and the dominant toms they kind of pick an area to display. And there are other toms and jakes around, and then the females just kind of sit and watch. And there'll be copulation that happens like within a huge group of them. Like they kind of all hang out and try to display together, and they'll be doing that for the next at least month and a half. You'll see them really active and dancing around.
Okay. And where does the hunting season come in that 6 week stretch? Is it in April, May?
Both. Yep. It starts in April. I should know this. And then it extends into May. There's like A through E seasons or something, each about a week long.
Have you spoken to people about the fact that we have so much more of a turkey population in our northeast corner of the state?
Yeah, it's, I think, pretty understood that they're naturally dispersing up this way following what the deer did and the coyotes did. They're naturally just finding more habitat. So I'd suspect over the next 10 years we'd get some populations up here, but they're going to go at their own pace. Not how long
right.
it takes,
well,
you know.
And part of what I'm getting at, too, is that people have not been used to having that available as a game species. So
absolutely
so
right.
So this
I
is
think
a cultural shift for people that want to hunt turkeys.
Yeah, I know. I joke that I would go turkey hunting up here, but it's all private property. And so, it's going to take a while for people to adjust. And maybe the birds up here are not hunter shy. You know, you get these virgin populations that don't know hunters. Maybe they'll get eaten quick. I don't know how that whole thing works.
Well, one scene that has played out so far is a number of us have had to come to an abrupt stop when 12, 13 turkeys, this is midsummer, cross the road in front of us.
I was going to say, bet you they're crossing the road.
We are not ready for that.
No, it's like geese, but yeah, they take their time and they're big too. I mean, they clearly will stop traffic.
Yes.
For who knows how long those pea brains decide where they want to go, how they want to cross the road.
Duly noted. And we did have a solitary but full-grown turkey bopping around underneath our bird feeder station, which is, you know, has the standard fare for chickadees and finches and whatnot. And I wondered, is it really there to eat sunflower seeds? But I guess any food in a difficult time of the year.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll just kind of be picking, but he probably likes the spot because it's open as well.
And yes,
so he
bare
can
ground.
Get good display. And yeah, he might set up shop there for a little bit, but hopefully chickadees don't mind.
That would be actually quite amazing if we saw any of the mating behavior. Wow, didn't
even
think
that.
It's
pretty cool. Males will fight like during the event or before or after, so it can be quite a pretty entertaining moment. So keep your eyes out.
And then a short time later, we'll have hatching of young turkeys.
And those are cute little ping pong balls that walk on stilts for a few weeks.
And they have to hit the ground running and size up because
pretty much.
When I saw them crossing the road in the summer, they were not little babies anymore.
No, they grow up fast and they stay really close to mom for the first week or two and they're really small. She has a ground nest, so she lays her eggs literally just in leaf litter. And yeah, they hold really tight to her, but they do. They pop up fast. They can't fly still for the first few months.
Sure.
So that's when you'll see them, you know, gaggling around
and
stuff.
It's just interesting to think that our habitat is accommodating. They must have a fairly wide range of open, because you'd think there'd be a certain open to forested ratio where that would be their happy spot.
And you think we're kind of promoting more oaks and maples up in this area, right?
For climate change, right? Is promoting oaks. Yes.
Right. So they're naturally coming up here, and we see that it's fitting for those types of trees. Well, that's kind of the habitat turkeys like, too. So it makes sense that they're kind of following close behind.
I guess, you know, oaks are more prone to a savanna-like kind of spacing.
Is and that the acorns.
Part of, yeah.
Turkeys love acorns.
Okay. Got to remember
good
that.
Good protein.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know about turkeys, but we've had return of many songbirds as well. And, you know, where I live, the robins are back, the nuthatches, juncos, and purple finches, all kind of numbers increasing with every day.
And I've seen down in Duluth, the shore, you know, more ducks and stuff. All the gulls are back. They were back a few weeks ago, too, but they're loud and back at it down in Duluth.
Is that considered a special phenology time of the year?
It means that it's
Duluth?
Tourist season when the gulls
well,
are
certainly
back.
Certainly the ships yes. returned. All the return of the ships, the gulls?
Yep.
Is that kind of?
Well, it was kind of, yes.
Kind of coordinated?
Synchronous a little bit,
I wonder
yeah.
if the Coast Guard had anything. No,
it's funny.
Teasing.
No, now all the fisher boats are out, so yeah, it's really spring out there. I like when the reptiles wake up, so I was super excited to see, well, my amphibian friends, my salamanders outside my apartment in Duluth yesterday.
Wow.
I have redback salamanders are about 2.5 inches long.
Yeah, I would have thought they'd be fairly sensitive to waiting till times are really, you know, secure temperature-wise, because in a heartbeat, it'll be back into the 20s in Duluth overnight.
Yeah, they just must crawl back underground because that top layer is, you know, thawed out now.
But they
got to stay in the moist.
So they can navigate back under out of that colder air. Okay.
Yep.
That's kind of a range of things that we've both observed. I did want to point out to the audience that I had the pleasure of through my wife's camera, at least, seeing that we apparently have a muskrat in our stream bed and that it's kind of intriguing because we're on a kind of a steep run of a stream that doesn't look like anybody would be, you know, building a den that was in the stream, but maybe on the banks of the stream. And you pointed out to me it might just be that we saw a transient muskrat that was looking for new territory because they break up. Families get broken up in nature, right?
Yeah, and they do overwinter with beavers. So how cute would it be if this muskrat was denning with the beavers and everyone woke up and he had to go find a new home for the summer?
Wow.
That could be it, too.
Wow. Yeah, because the beaver habitat in the stream would be a couple miles upstream. So that would be, it's on the move.
Yeah.
Looking to figure out what to do next.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, we're speaking today on our Wandering Nature News with Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park. Michaela is the naturalist up there, and she's got a bunch of things that are still happening in the month of April as spring is springing. Go ahead, Michaela. Why don't you tell us all that's on the agenda coming up?
Yeah, we're going to have to get a better way of doing this, because every time I come now, every week, we're going to have more programs to announce, which is great, because I'm putting them up all on the calendar for all summer.
We'll have to have audio bullet points or something. You do a great job of summarizing.
But let's start. The soonest program I have is April 14th, this Friday. I have another children's story time program from 10 to 11 a.m. This time it will be Call of the Coyote, so we're learning about coyotes. It'll be story time and activity and craft. And then for Earth Day, it is a free park day anywhere in the state of Minnesota.
Right.
So since y'all love Gooseberry so much, you're going to come to Gooseberry, right?
Well, some of the locals seem to understand it's a very well-loved park. And maybe on a busy day, we might see if there's space for us elsewhere. You know,
I suppose.
There are a lot of beautiful spots on the North Shore.
Absolutely.
Your park is a gem. We get that, Michaela.
I know, I'm teasing. So I have an Earth Day celebration come test your knowledge on how the Great Lakes were formed. So I'll be doing that from noon to 2, and then Jackie Fallon, our beautiful bird handler expertise, peregrine falcon savior. I mean, honestly, she knows. She's been a part of the whole peregrine falcon conservation program in Minnesota. But anyway, she'll be there that day as well with two of her birds. And then the fourth Friday of the month, I have my community creations, and this time it's going to be at the Two Harbors Library for this. And so this is my nature art craft time, and that's April 28th from 1 to 3 at the Two Harbors Library.
1 to 3 p.m. All right.
And then the last thing I just want to throw out there is I am writing a series. I'm planning a program, a bunch of programs about trees. So I'm calling it Digging Down to the Roots. And I have a program called Tree Hugging, and we're literally going to be hugging trees, and you will be learning about the benefits of prolonged hugging. And it's a really fun, like, well-being kind of meditative, just fun. It's like laugh yoga. If you like that kind of cheery but good feeling kind of stuff, check out my tree hugging programs, and these will all be online. There are some live now.
And just to clarify with people, mm-hmm. where they're going to find them online, what's the quickest tag for getting to?
So it's the mndnr.gov/events, event calendar, and you can go to Gooseberry specifically. You can search by month.
And we'll be searching on Digging Down to the Roots?
So you can just look for the month programs. It'll list them all, but I have another one about tree ancestry, how old trees can be, how people view old trees, the stories that they can tell us, how to age a tree. Then I have another program about tree adaptations, learn some really amazing things that trees can do and how they evolve to do them.
Wow.
And then I'll have another one about forest and the fire.
Wow.
So this will be going on all summer, different topics and stuff, but all around trees.
And so I'm wondering, these will have lots of information, but they won't necessarily be technical, like an arborist would be talking about how to age a tree with a coring or anything.
No. It'll be like generally it's kind of like just one measurement or something.
Sure.
These are very family friendly programs, very general audience. I try to get people out. We'll go look at trees. We'll go look at old trees at the park. Yeah, very hands-on, just fun, family-friendly.
And, you know, you've been here and there's been a wild winter around. It's been maybe hard to get out to all these trees. Do you have to do a little scoping out?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You're scoping your trees of
and
interest?
I actually do want to get our resource specialist to help me. Maybe we can age some trees pretty specifically just for more of that history component. Like, what did this tree experience at Gooseberry?
Yes.
What has it seen?
Yes.
The whole 100 years that it's been there, you know, some things like that. I do want to kind of nail down specifically, but I'm going to have to go walk out to all these sites because with all the snow melts, you know, we don't know what the conditions like are underneath.
It's certainly interesting, the people of all ages that talk about what historical epochs or whatever the word is, the events that some of these trees were alive during, you know, like, did they go back pre-Minnesota European settlement?
Yeah, I know. I just think it's amazing. I think of what this tree has been through, all the lessons that it could teach us.
Yeah.
You know, and there are other cultures that the trees are our ancestors. And I believe that they have a window into the world that we don't. I love the grandmother Willow kind of aspect. Sure. You know, Pocahontas might not be the greatest movie, but I grew up with it when I was little, and I really liked this idea that trees were this, like, this entity of wisdom and comfort and protection, and that's what I've always seen them as. So I kind of been playing with that idea. Okay.
Have you done any exploration reading on the woman who's so in demand these days? I think her last name is Samard, who's written about the mother trees and
no.
how the tree's root system.
Yeah, so that book is on hold everywhere, so I think I'm just going to have to buy it.
I think you can. I can hook you up with it.
Ooh,
I can.
Okay.
I think it's wondrous because it's very scientifically mm-hmm. verified. But it is also amazing what it metaphorically means about the connections between all of the trees that you may see in any one section of the forest, that it's an interdependency.
Yeah, and I think that'll help me write programs for later in the summer, that really deep ecosystem understanding, what's going on underground, all the mycology involved, and just how, yeah, complex and just so cool these systems are. So
yeah.
I'll definitely
I mean, our IT people like to brag about, you know, the complexities of AI. That's nothing compared to how immensely intricate and developed over centuries and millennia.
And it just runs on its own.
Yes.
It just does it. It's just amazing.
It isn't waiting for us to press the on button.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Michaela, thank you so much. We covered a lot of ground, and I heard about a lot of really cool activities. When is the first of the tree-based explorations
sure.
happen?
So my first program, most of these are on Saturdays at 10:30. I'm trying to make it a really good time for folks to be able to come.
Yeah.
But my first one is Saturday, April 29th.
Fantastic. Who knows what it'll be like on April 29th? There could still be white stuff.
I know, but we can hug trees even if there's some white stuff on the ground. So I figured it'd be a good
And
day.
I was talking about even in the air, Michaela, because I'm a realist.
That's
so
true.
I'm
That's
sorry
true.
About that. I'll watch it. Thank you so much for joining us again, Michaela. Hope I can see you again in 2 weeks, and you'll have had some of your big events. I'd love to hear a report of how it went.
Sounds great. We'll see you then.
Bye now.
Bye.
Every other Wednesday, we invite Michaela Rice, naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, to join us for Wandering Nature News. This is Leo for KTWH.